Interesting Items 0325. Howdy all, a few interesting items for your information. Enjoy. In this issue. 1. Election. 2. Navarro. 3. Schumer. 4. Hoax. 5. West Point. 6. TikTok. 7. Portal. 8. Veto. 9. CIA. 1. Election. Some random observations on the political scene for your consideration. Much has been made of the inroads Trump is making among minorities, specifically blacks and Latinos. Asians are also moving toward the political right, though not in as substantial numbers yet. The movement among blacks and Latinos is all men, not unlike the men on campus. Politically, men are clanging hard right. Why? Because we observe that the nation is in danger. Men are hardwired to run toward danger. It is what we do, however poorly. Republicans are morphing into the man party. Democrats are morphing into the woman party. The problem is that the subset of women that is bat dollar hash tea crazy among Democrats is large enough to control the Democrat Party. A couple reframes for your consideration. First of these is a possible explanation of the immigration debacle. The easy explanation is that Democrats are trying to replace their crumbling coalition with a new coalition of welfare-dependent Democrats. This explanation would appeal to younger brainwashed Democrats. The argument against that explanation is import of a huge number of single, military-age men, people unlikely to vote for Democrats in the future. If they wanted new Democrats, they would be importing women with children almost exclusively. Something else must be going on. A possible explanation would be that whoever is making these decisions hate themselves as much or more than they hate the United States. Essentially, the open southern border is self-harm, similar to cutting that young, disturbed women do to themselves. Likewise, wokeness also ends up being a manifestation of mental illness, once again, self-harm. Its supporters hate themselves as much or more than they hate the country. This helps to explain why practitioners of all things woke tend to be women or typical Democrat beta males. Pollster Frank Luntz has been warning NY Attorney General Letitia James against seizing Trump properties as it will all but guarantee his election. While Luntz doesn't explain how or why this works, I think I can. Anyone remember the Ferguson-Mo riots? The riots ostensibly took place after a police shooting and the town blew up for a while. At the time, Ferguson was a majority black St. Louis suburb, with a long-term Democrat government. Anytime governments aren't regularly changed, and one-party rule is allowed to grow and fester over decades, that government runs out of money and becomes corrupt. Ferguson figured out how to fund their gravy train with an aggressive licensing and ticketing regime coupled with exorbitant court costs when you were tagged and prosecuted. Those on the receiving end of the tender loving care lost property ranging from vehicles to homes. As usual, those lowest on the economic ladder, poor blacks in Ferguson, were on the receiving end and never had the economic resources to fight their predatory government. Essentially, Ferguson residents saw their own government stealing from them using the law, courts and law enforcement to perpetrate and enforce the theft. This goes on a lot in the blue cities. When blacks on the receiving end of this classic Democrat theft look at the legal theft concocted by a corrupt black attorney general and corrupt judge in NYC aimed at Trump, they understand in their very bones what is going on and why. Trump becomes a victim to members of a party steeped in victimhood and propagandized to always sympathize with victims of government. Dems keep this up and Trump will become the third black U.S. president after Clinton and Obama. 2. Navarro. It took 4 Obama federal judges, the trial judge and 3 on the Federal Court of Appeals, to send Peter Navarro during his appeal of contempt charges. Of course, Chief Justice John Roberts had to sign off on the outrage. Navarro refused to appear before Pelosi's Jan 6 committee on the grounds of presidential immunity and that the committee was illegally set up and chartered, the House didn't follow its own rules. He is appealing his conviction. Usually, a perp stays out of jail pending appeal if he is deemed to be nonviolent. The Obamoids on the federal bench and the coward who is Chief Justice overturned centuries of American jurisprudence in an attempt to get Trump and anyone who has the temerity to support him. Should he survive, Navarro will likely serve his 4 months before the appeal is heard. I am not going to get into the executive privilege argument, for that is something that comes and goes. Sending a non-violent perp to jail while they appeal is a big change in the rules. As I have said for years, Dems really aren't gonna enjoy playing under their new rules. 3. Schumer. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer made a long speech a couple weeks ago blasting Israel, the Netanyahu-led government, and called for regime change in Israel so that they would be unable to annihilate the remaining Hamas in the SW. At the same time, there is increasing pressure by the dementia Hitler regime on Israel to stop its offensive, up to and including threats of stopping ammunition sales. Note that Trudeau's Canada halted ammo sales to Israel last week. Historically, Schumer has been one of the most pro-Israel U.S. senators as the highest-ranking Jew in government. What changed? My guess is that the polling in Michigan along with other Midwestern states with large Muslim populations is awful and Democrat leadership is trying to turn it around before it is too late. Essentially, their political math is telling them that the 1.1% of the U.S. population that is Muslim, 3.45 million is more important than the 2.4%, 7.6 million that are Jewish. Such is the difficulty you find yourself in when you look at Americans as discrete groups rather than individual citizens. And it couldn't happen to nicer set of pandering scum. 4. Hoax. The most recent anti-Trump hoax was the bloodbath hoax accusing Trump of threatening a bloodbath if he was not elected. The technique for the hoax is called a Ruper, named after Vox journalist Aaron Ruper. Aaron Ruper pioneered the technique of taking a video, this can also be done with an audio track, cutting out the section that says what he wants that section to say, while discarding all context around it. Done correctly, the video clip ends up saying the exact opposite of what was actually said and done. The Charlottesville Fine People hoax is a Ruper. The bloodbath hoax took a portion of a Trump speech warning that CCP auto manufacturers were setting up shop in Mexico so as to dodge import tariffs with plans of flooding the U.S. auto market with cheap vehicles, EVs. Elect Trump and that won't happen. Elect Biden, and it will be a bloodbath for U.S. auto manufacturers. The media and the dementia Hitler re-election campaign took the Ruper and ran with it for a couple days. Reaction on the right this time around was to ridicule the claim, laughing at it. You can never defeat a Ruper by logic or laughs. You can always destroy a Ruper by ridicule, which should be a lesson for all of us, as this won't be the last one we see this year. 5. West Point. The DEI, didn't earn it, advocates infesting U.S. Military Academy at West Point are busily rewriting their foundational documents. One of them is the mission statement, where the taxpayer-funded wokesters are removing the U.S. Military Academy's motto duty, honor, country. The motto has been around since 1898. West Point claims that the motto isn't changing, though if it is no longer part of the foundational mission, what is it good for? The motto was added to the mission statement in 1998. On the one hand, West Point did just fine without the motto being reflected in the mission statement for a century. It was also successful for the century before that without the motto or likely even a formal mission statement. The problem with removal is that nobody trusts any institutional change under this regime or the perfumed princes suckling up to it. This change smells like perfumed prince rather than warrior. The army, along with the rest of the services, will have its work cut out for it following the last 4 years once the current regime leaves town. 6. TikTok. The CCP's latest assault on youngsters in the U.S. is to use its influence to turn off the American birth rate, attempting to drag our demographics into the same toilet that their disastrous one-child policy did for them. They are busily using their heat button to push trans, birth control risks, blaming climate change on too many people, double income no kids, dinks, are cool. They are also pushing the squatting movement which I will discuss next week. Tell me again why we still allow TikTok to operate in the US. 7. Portal. Elon Musk revealed last week that the FBI had a portal into Twitter that auto-deleted all communications with Twitter after 2 weeks. He added that was likely a violation of the Freedom of Information Act. Musk made the comments in a podcast discussing censorship of Americans on social media by the US government. As everything in the portal was auto-deleted, the new Twitter ownership team doesn't know what the FBI was saying or encouraging them to do. He called out the Deep State Global Engagement Center as the worst offender. The center demanded suspension of over 250,000 accounts. He thinks Twitter complied with all of those requests. No wonder the deep state wants to destroy Musk and X/Twitter. He is pulling up the flat rock they are hiding under and letting the sun shine in. The FBI is beyond repair. It has turned into the domestic criminal enterprise they claim to hate the most. 8. Veto. The Alaska legislature is in session. As such, nobody's wallet or permanent fund dividend, PFD, is safe, unless of course, they are union droids. In one of their first acts, the legislature with overwhelming majorities passed a major increase in per-student funding, essentially a payoff to the teachers' unions. While doing so, they stripped all accountability and parental rights language from the proposed legislation and sent the whole mess to the governor's desk for signature. The governor vetoed it. Last week, the legislature attempted to override the veto and failed by one vote, a good victory that was way too close. It is always heartening to see the governor act, as he doesn't use his power often enough. This event happily helps identify those in the legislature not up to the fight so we can do something about some of them. 50. 40 House and 10 Senate, in August and November. 9. CIA. Yet more evidence that Jan 6 was an inside job, this time courtesy of the Washington Examiner. Judicial Watch shared 88 pages of documents it got courtesy of FOIA against the intel community over their participation in Jan 6. The internal documents were heavily redacted. BATF has a series of messages under the heading of January 7th Intel Chain which had two separate references to participation by the CIA. One said two CIA bomb techs were assisting in a pipe bomb scene. Another referenced CIA dog teams on standby. Note that the two pipe bombs are today considered to be backup plans in the event that Capitol protest didn't achieve the desired results. Feds claims to be searching, not unlike O.J. Simpson, for the perps who left the inoperative devices. The shooting of Ashley Babbitt was also referenced. She was first hit in the shoulder, pushed through a doorway after which she was shot in the chest. The CIA director was informed of the shooting. More later. A.G. Throughout history, poverty is the normal condition of man. Advances which permit this norm to be exceeded, here and there, now and then, are the work of an extremely small minority, frequently despised, often condemned, and almost always opposed by all right-thinking people. Whenever this tiny minority is kept from creating, or, as sometimes happens, is driven out of society, the people then slip back into abject poverty. This is known as bad luck. - Lazarus Long via Robert A. Heinlein, Time Enough for Love. 1974.